Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. All your texts, all of your voicemails there. You guys have been awesome this weekend, sending us periodically voicemails and text messages. I know I was trying to go back and forth with a couple of you guys. I'm pretty much a night owl over the weekends now. So if you guys send texts, want to have Bulls conversations, hit us up at our text and voicemail line. I'll probably respond at weird hours. I was texting with Matt. I was texting with one of our listeners at like 3 a.m. on Saturday because I'm working radio overnights right now. And I was like, why the hell are you still up? And he was like, insomnia, binge watching Stranger Things. So shout out to anybody who's a late nighter on Friday and Saturdays. I'll be awake as well. But how you doing, Matt? How was your 4th of July? Matt right now is in Michigan. That's why our audio sounds a little bit different today and tomorrow. But we'll be back to fresh audio. Matt, you'll be back on Wednesday. But how you doing? How was your 4th?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy 4th to you and everybody out there. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Yep, I'm still up in Michigan, coming back in another day or so. I have not been a night owl recently. I haven't been partying too hard over the 4th of July weekend because I've been on uncle babysitting duties up here with the family, hanging out with my 18-month-old niece, who's just a bundle of fun, but lots of work. She's running me ragged. So it's early to bed, early to rise for me over the 4th of July holiday, but still keeping up with everything that's been going on in free agency and the start of summer league, and also just so happy with the way that all of the Kawhi stuff worked out. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled.
I was so happy that when I got that notification, I was sitting there in the 670 The Score studios. It was like 1 a.m. and all of a sudden getting those two alerts on my phone. Kawhi has decided to go to the Clippers. And then you get the big bomb where the Clippers decide to trade for Paul George. I was like, holy shit. They actually pulled a deal off for Paul George. And then I saw what the Clippers gave up, and I'm like, holy shit. Oklahoma City might be a little bit sad right now, but they are absolutely loaded. What did you think about the Kawhi and the Paul George combination now going to the Clippers? And how do you think that changes the dynamic of the NBA now?
Well, I think it makes things a whole lot more even across the board. I was dreading Kawhi going to the Lakers because even though LeBron's starting to age and finally show a little bit of signs of slowing down a bit, dealing with the injury and missing a good chunk of this past season as well, you still figured a team with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi is basically an automatic pass to the finals, even in conferences as tough as the West has been in recent years. So I just hated that idea. You know, to me, it was like, yeah, LeBron's significantly older than the previous time, but it would have been the Heatles all over again and the super team thing. And I just loved the way that Kawhi went about it. And not only did he get a bunch of Lakers fans' hopes up only to crush them, but he also basically forced the Lakers to sit around and wait on his decision and forced them to sit on all the money that they had to offer him and missed out on a bunch of the other free agents in the meantime. And a bunch of other dominoes fell while those three teams the Clips, the Lakers, and the Raptors were waiting on Kawhi's decision. And we kept hearing the things about how he really wanted to see which team and their front office could keep things private, right? As he was going through his decision, it was sort of like a test from Kawhi and his camp. Let's see which team does the best job of not leaking any information. And we kept hearing the Raptors are confident that they can still sign him. And this is what's going on in Kawhi watch and everybody in Toronto freaking out about where's Kawhi's plane, where's Kawhi's car. And then the Lakers basically say, oh, it's a done deal. It's 99.9% sure. We got Kawhi. It's going to be great. You heard nothing from the Clippers. You had multiple people saying that the Clippers were out and they're the ones that end up getting him. It was just so awesome.
Yeah, that whole like watching where he is in cars and restaurants and following him all around, whether it is reporters or fans, find that very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. So I'm glad that Kawhi kind of spited the both of those fan bases who were doing that because it got a little ridiculous. Like the dude couldn't even go out to have lunch by himself without people taking pictures of him and not even like taking fan photos with him. It was like, let me be a creep and stand 10 feet away from him when he's right. Clearly seeing you shooting the photo of him. Like, it was just very bizarre. And like you said, he was looking for loyalty throughout these last couple of weeks. And the Clippers said, zip. Everybody thought the Clippers were out. And Michael Reinsdorf's buddy, Jerry West, pulling off another blockbuster trade. So I wonder if Michael Reinsdorf's going to call him in for any more advice and how the Bulls are doing so far this offseason. But I love it, man.
And I mean, honestly, if it turns out that the Clippers with this duo of Kawhi and Paul George and some of the other pieces that they already had, you know, they were able to keep Pat Beverly on that new contract. You know, Montrezl Harrell looked like one of the most valuable players on a steal of a contract last season. You know, I'm sure he's gearing up to have another good year. The Clippers have all these nice pieces, and now they have two stars, arguably the two best two-way players in the game right now in Kawhi and Paul George. And I mean, you got to assume that beyond LeBron, who's aging, and Anthony Davis, who can't, you know, always be reliably healthy, that, the Lakers, of course, panic signed a bunch of people after the Kawhi news. They brought Rajon Rondo back. They signed Boogie Cousins on a one-year deal. But the Clips, to me, are the favorites. And that's why even still with the Paul George trade, they did give up a King's ransom of all those picks. But over the next several years, I mean, I'd be surprised if any of those picks are lottery picks. The Clippers are going to be a playoff team as long as Kawhi and Paul George are both there.
Yeah, that is true. So the picks that are going to Oklahoma City, 2021 Miami unprotected, 2022 Clippers unprotected, 2023 Miami top 14 protected, 2023 pick swap there, 2024 Clippers unprotected, 2025 pick swap, and the 2026 Clippers unprotected. So you know you're probably going to hit on at least one of those, at least one of those. So that's good for Oklahoma City. And then on top of that, you get a young point guard in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and you get Danilo Gallinari, who I think is one of the most underrated players in basketball right now. He had a really, really, really good season last year. And so I think he's going to be pretty good for that Oklahoma City Thunder team. Now, they might be in kind of a halfway rebuild mode, like not really knowing what they want to do. And that's kind of why we were talking about Russell Westbrook all weekend, and maybe they're going to try and trade him or trade Steven Adams. We'll get into that in a minute, but Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. Now we have a serious rivalry in Los Angeles, and I am so glad that whiny Lakers fan base did not land Kawhi. They get everything that they've asked for so far, and same thing with LeBron.
Right.
He's gotten everything he's asked for, and now finally Kawhi's like, you know what? No, I don't want the easy way out. I want to go and go head-to-head against all of these other teams, and may the best team win. So that's why I love this, and it makes me appreciate and love Kawhi Leonard even more.
Right, and I think, you know, and I saw somebody explain it this way on Twitter. To me, the other way that it's satisfying is that the Lakers were not rewarded for their incompetence.
Yes.
Because even more so than Bulls fans feel about our front office right now, the Lakers were a shit show this past season with the, you know, infighting and the backstabbing between Magic and Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss not knowing what the hell's going on, all of the tampering and the various failures to get the Anthony Davis deal done before the trade deadline. And then causing all of the infighting and lack of trust among players on the roster and LeBron. basically alienating himself because he said, trade everybody, trade all these kids, get me Anthony Davis. All this terrible stuff that the Lakers were doing. And if Kawhi had chosen them, it would have been rewarding their incompetence, which to me just would have been so not cool. When Bulls fans are frustrated and we're saying, well, how come we were never in the Anthony Davis talks? How come Anthony Davis doesn't want to play here? How come the Bulls are not a team that was going after players like Kawhi or trying to get a player of you know, Russell Westbrook or Paul George's caliber in a trade? And it's like there's some of that talk about how the Bulls front office is incompetent. Well, incompetence is rarely rewarded, and it shouldn't be. So I was glad in that sense as well that the Lakers didn't just automatically get themselves a super team and make themselves championship favorites, even though if they had managed to land Kawhi, they would have just completely backed into it, and it would have been because Kawhi wanted an easy route to more rings, and I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, so now the parity in the NBA across the board is a lot of fun. A lot of duos out there that can compete. And I think the Western Conference, too, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Top to bottom, really. I don't think that there's one real, real shitty team in the Western Conference now. Maybe like the Suns, but even the Suns improved, too.
Phoenix, you know, Phoenix got better. They'll still probably be. And also like Minnesota, you know, they still have Towns, but for the most part, that roster seems kind of hopeless to me.
Yeah, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Andrew Wiggins and all the other pieces that are trying to piecemeal together to keep that team up and going. But yeah, they're pretty much in a rebuild, but they still got two young guys. But beyond that, that was the biggest news of the weekend to hit. So I'm glad that Kawhi finally decided to go to a team not named the Lakers. And for Oklahoma City, find this to be an interesting spot for them and over the next couple of weeks. They're going to have to make a decision on Russell Westbrook. And obviously, Russell Westbrook this weekend seems like he set up a meeting with Oklahoma City to kind of talk about the future and what's going to go on with the franchise and also what he wants to do with his career. Immediately, three teams were linked to having interest in Russell Westbrook. That would be the Miami Heat, the New York Knicks, and the Chicago Bulls. Matt, I saw a ton and I couldn't read it all, and I kind of tuned it out after I read a handful, probably about two dozen opinions about Russell Westbrook coming to Chicago. Before I give mine, I want to hear kind of what you think. If the Bulls were really actually interested in Russell Westbrook, what you would be willing to give up in a deal to trade for Russell Westbrook, and whether or not you would want him on this team.
Well, look, Westbrook is still a player who is, you know, whatever it is, like an 8-time All-Star. He's won an MVP. He's been scoring champion twice. He's coming off of three straight years of averaging a triple-double, which is something that hadn't been done since Oscar in the 60s. We all know the amazing individual accolades that Russ has on his resume. And for that reason, he would not come cheap. You talk about the deal that the Clippers and the OKC just made, and the Kings ransom quantity of picks that the Clippers sent to OKC, in addition to two solid players in Gilgeous Alexander and Gallinari, as you said. To me, Russell Westbrook costs as much, if not more, than Paul George. Westbrook's on a gigantic contract that's only 1 year old. He still has next season, I want to say the numbers are like 38, 41, 44, and 47 million over the next 4 years. That's a ton of money for a player who's still in his prime. It's the back end of his prime, but it's still his prime. The Thunder, if they are actually going to start over, are going to demand a shit ton of draft capital and young talent to give up Russell Westbrook. To me, that's why it's a terrible idea for the Bulls. They're in the middle of this rebuild. They've got some interesting, promising young pieces. And to me, yes, Westbrook is in his prime, but he's going to be 31 at this, like, you know, early, I want to say November of the upcoming 1920 season. And most of his game is predicated on his athleticism and his ability to attack the basket. He's never been a good shooter. He's never been a reliable shooter. His true shooting percentages, his effective field goal percentages have kind of already started to come down in the recent years, even though they've never been very impressive across the board. He hasn't shot 45% from the field since like the 2015-16 season, and that was only one of two times in his entire career he's managed to hit 45% overall from the field. There are so many things that to me are red flags about Westbrook as far as what he can do for this Bulls team right now, what his game is going to look like as he ages, and what it would cost to get him.
I'm with you. I get everything that you're saying right now and everything, the reasons why I wouldn't trade for him. But at the same time, this is my biggest argument here. We've been complaining and complaining and complaining and bitching and moaning about the Bulls not being able to land a star, right? Over the last 3 or 4 years, probably even longer than that, since Derrick Rose, even back to since 2010, we have been complaining, Bulls Nation across the board. If the Bulls are seriously interested in getting Russell Westbrook and the OKC is seriously interested in trading him to Chicago and Russell Westbrook would want to come to Chicago, you can't have it both ways. You can't bitch about not having stars and not being able to land any stars and then blame the front office there and then turn around and say, you know what? Nah, I'm good on Russell Westbrook. And this isn't you, Matt. This is like Bulls fans across the board that I'm seeing on Twitter. Everybody just immediately saying no and like, it feels like a mob mentality with this no shit. It's like everybody across the board is saying no to Russell Westbrook. And I'm like, you were the same people 3 months ago, pissed off at the front office for punting on free agency and saying, you know what? They're not going to get stars anybody. Nobody wants to play here in Chicago anyway. If the Bulls have an opportunity to get Russell Westbrook and it doesn't cost you Lauri Markkanen, I think I'm seriously considering what that deal would be in order to grab him.
I mean, I see your point, and it's a fair point, especially if there is some overlap of the fans who complain about this team not being able to land stars, whether it's in free agency or getting them in trades, and the fact that, Westbrook doesn't fit, he's on a bad contract, whatever, and immediately said no to Westbrook. If there's an overlap of the fans who hold those two opinions, you know, and I'm sure that there is, then whatever, they're probably a little misguided. To me, it was like, the fans who complain about not being able to get stars are the same ones who turn their nose up at the signings that the Bulls made, right? Well, who the hell is Thaddeus Young? Who the hell is Thomas Zadaransky? Who the hell is Luke Kornet? I don't even know these guys. Okay, well, then you're not a true NBA fan, and you don't know what you're talking about, so you're not entitled to have the opinion that those are bad signings. Because in reality, they might not be as flashy as a name like Russell Westbrook, but they were good signings that actually helped the roster in the ways that it needed help, without taking focus away from the young core of this team that they do actually believe in. And now, again, I'm not saying that that is guaranteed to be the correct path. We'll see what happens with the development of key players like Markkanen and Levine and Wendell Carter Jr. But throwing a wrench into the spokes by going out and getting Russell Westbrook just to appease fans who aren't really sure what they want, do we want a big-name player or do we want to build around the young guys? To me, like, adding Westbrook in that sense makes no sense. So I don't care about fans who say, well, we can never go get a star. You got to add Russell Westbrook. To me, Russell Westbrook just, like, immediately messes up everything that you're starting to get right about this rebuild. So do you want to go out and add a star and add a big name, even though it might not actually help your basketball team? Because, again, let's remember, Westbrook, yes, he's still a star in his prime, but he is on his decline. And he does not have, in my opinion, the tools and skills as a shooter and an offensive player to deal with the fact that his body is going to start breaking down soon. So to me, it would be more of a sign of, like, if they made the move to get Westbrook, not as egregious to me, but in the similar light of, let's go bring in Dwayne Wade, or let's go sign Jabari Parker, because that's a big name that would put some butts in some seats and definitely sell some jerseys. What do you want, Bulls fans? You got to make up your mind.
It's true. I see what you're saying there, too. I get that. I think I would seriously engage in talks for Russell Westbrook if I could say, I can go to Oklahoma City and say, the only player we're not willing to trade right now is Lauri Markkanen. If you can keep Lauri Markkanen and still get Russell Westbrook, I would seriously engage in talks there. Now, you had mentioned earlier that you think that Russell Westbrook would come more expensive than Paul George just did right now. Why do you think that? Because think about the contract just alone by itself is massive. And that is a contract that almost probably 90% of the league can't take on or wouldn't be willing to take on. And the three teams that are willing have the cap space or the ability to be able to kind of shift things around and do that. And the Knicks, the Heat, and the Bulls. I don't think it would be that expensive. I really don't think it would cost you four future first round draft picks or anything like that, just because of the deal that Russell Westbrook is on. What do you think it would cost, just from, not even just from a Bulls perspective, from Knicks or Heat too, if they were going to make a deal for him? What do you think realistically a starting point for Russell Westbrook trade would cost you?
Well, I mean, as far as the numbers, and let's start there, you would have to match those. If the Bulls were to orchestrate this trade now, they would have to match those salaries and send back whatever, like $30 million and change worth of contract to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you're talking about either Otto Porter or LaVine as a starting point to get close to that $30 million and reach it. So are you cool with giving up LaVine as part of that? Are you cool with giving up Otto? I feel like most Bulls fans would certainly not have any objections there. But to me, again, the asking price is going to be set by OKC. And if Miami wants to go out there and get, you know, another star to play alongside Jimmy Butler, I think that would be hilarious. I think Westbrook and Jimmy would crash like crazy. But if they wanted to me, the caliber of player that Westbrook is and everything that he has meant to that OKC organization, you know, OKC brought in Paul George and, you know, took him in and said, you're one of us now. He decided to stay. That was kind of a surprise to most people following the league. People thought he was going to bolt to one of the teams in Southern California, but he decided to stay. But he was never as much of that team as Westbrook was. Kevin Durant bolted. Westbrook is the one who always stayed, and he may have been a reason why they never were able to actually win it all. And, you know, he doesn't play well. You know, he's not a team player. Nobody really liked playing with him. It's why Paul George, went to go play with Kawhi instead. It's why Kevin Durant left to go join the Warriors. All this stuff we hear about Westbrook, but still, he is the most valuable thing that franchise has ever had. And he is not getting, you know, bought for cheap. So when the question is, what does it take to me? It's at least two of the Bulls' young quote unquote stars that clearly are not at the same star level as Westbrook right now, and several pieces of future draft capital. You're talking about probably giving up LaVine, Wendell, and maybe Kobe White, and several future first round draft picks. Are you willing to do that, to throw in Russell Westbrook, kind of stir up this rebuild, whatever's going on right now, and hope that he doesn't decline over the remaining years of his contract when you're paying him like basically over a third of your team's cap space? That's the hypothetical you're talking about as far as what it's going to cost for Westbrook, and that's why I think it's not a great idea.
I think that the Bulls wouldn't have to give up as much as what was given up in the Paul George trade. I think that was given up because OKC and the OKC basically had the Clippers by their balls, right? Said, you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard if you don't do this deal for Paul George. Paul George is basically, we have all leverage and all control over you guys right now. So you know what? Instead of what it would normally probably cost you in like two, maybe a third draft pick, we want five. And the Clippers are sitting there like, fuck, if we don't do this deal, that Kawhi's going to be gone and we won't have Paul George. We won't have any stars and we'll have all this cap space. So that's why I think that the Clippers had to give up as much as they did for Paul George, because OKC knew something was up.
That's a fair point. Absolutely.
So keeping that in mind, I don't think it would cost you four draft picks to trade for Russell Westbrook, especially because of the contract he's on. I totally get where you're coming from with the Zach LaVine or Otto Porter. I'm cool with that. You can start with either one of those guys, and if it costs you both, then fine. Trade both of those guys. Where it gets a little weird would be, like you said, the draft picks in combination to the players that you're giving up. So let's just say, for instance, that you would have to give up Zach LaVine, Kobe White, Otto Porter Jr., and then two first-round picks in the future. I think that would probably be enough to get it done. Two unprotected first round picks over the course of the next, whatever it is, between the next 4 years, plus Kobe White, plus Otto Porter Jr., plus Zach LaVine. I think that might be enough to get it done for Russell Westbrook. Would you do that?
I mean, I don't think that's a terribly gross overpay. I think the Thunder might say yes to that. And honestly, if the Bulls really wanted to add a, you know, go now star to this roster, the Bulls might say yes to that. I think that would probably be looked at as a fair deal for both teams. But here's my issue, though. I've never thought that Westbrook can be that guy that wins you a championship. He, you know, he and Durant and Harden couldn't get it done when they were together. People always talked about Westbrook taking bad shots down the stretch instead of ceding control and ceding power to Kevin Durant, and that's why KD eventually left and all that kind of stuff. Some of it's overblown, but some of it, in my opinion, is an accurate judgment of who Westbrook is as a player. And to me, right now, above everything else, Lauri Markkanen is the most important thing that's going on in this Bulls rebuild, because I think he has the highest ceiling to reach stardom with the pieces we have right now. So you're saying, even in that hypothetical, you're giving up Zach, you're giving up Otto, you're giving up your brand new draft pick and supposed point guard of the future, Coby White, and you're giving up two future first round picks, but you're keeping Lowry. To me,
yeah, and you're even keeping Wendell Carter too.
And you're keeping Wendell, which, you know, that's great. But to me, the issue is, does Russell Westbrook, as an aging score first point guard, make Lowry Markkanen a better player? Does he help or hinder Markkanen's development? Because in my opinion, he hinders Markkanen's development. And that's not what I want.
It's a good question. I'm trying to think of any other players Russell Westbrook has played with that fit sort of the Lowry Markkanen style. Like, you could probably go all the way back to Kevin Durant, maybe, but that's a little bit of a different situation. He hasn't really played with a big man that can shoot like Lauri Markkanen. So it's kind of tough for me to figure out whether or not he would. Just thinking about his defense, Russell Westbrook's defense, his ability to facilitate a little bit. Also, you brought up the triple doubles over the past 3 years. Here's just a little side note before I go back to the trades about Russell Westbrook and some of his stats. It's from Cleaning the Glass. And so they put a percentile on where guys' stats end up season through season. Russell Westbrook last season, he was in the 72nd percentile in blocks for guards, 89th percentile in steals, 41st percentile in foul percentage, offensive rebound percentage, 93rd, 98th in defensive rebounding, 63rd in free throw offensive rebounding, and 100th percentile in defensive free throw rebounding. So, elite level rebounder you'd get back. Elite level, probably elite level defender too in Russell Westbrook, at least from what the stats are saying. Eye test is also part of this as well. The only thing that concerns me, and that's exactly what you were talking about earlier, is his ability to score. He needs somebody to facilitate the ball to him in order to score. He's not very good by himself, like being able to get a bucket by himself. And the stats show you that too. Cleaning the Glass also has those stats too. A lot of his shots overall, I think 25% overall assisted by him, was like in the top 10 percentile for Russell Westbrook. So you need somebody who's going to be able to facilitate the ball to him as well. So trading away Coby White in your point guard and also Zach LaVine, who could be another ball handler, might be a bit of a concern there. So I get what you're saying too. And where does that put you? Go ahead.
Where does that put you?
Oh, where does that put you in terms of the East? So, like, say you do give up Otto Porter and you give up Coby White and Otto Porter, and you add Russell Westbrook to this team. Where does that get you in the 4 years that Russell Westbrook would be on this team in terms of the East?
See, to me, it doesn't get you that far. I mean, somebody was saying to me on Twitter the other day, like, Matt, I can't believe you don't want to make this trade and get Westbrook. You add Westbrook and manage to, like, you know, keep Lowry. Or, you know, keep one of the core pieces and, you know, pair him with Westbrook. And that team's basically, you know, a lock to make the conference finals. And I said, I'm sorry, but I don't think so. Obviously, you know, Brooklyn's real threat isn't going to happen until KD comes back a year from now. But they're still certainly going to be a dangerous playoff team if Kyrie stays healthy and they have all those same role players that they had around D'Lo this past season. Sixers made some moves. They lost Jimmy, but they kept everything else and added Al Horford. Celtics swapped out Kyrie and added Kemba. That, I think, is going to work out pretty well for them. They're going to be a dangerous team. Pacers getting Oladipo back. They made some nice moves. They stole Brogdon. Milwaukee still has most of their supporting cast around Giannis. To me, assuming that the Bulls all of a sudden have a direct track to being a conference finals team in the East just by adding an aging Russell Westbrook, yes, it's a tougher conference, but what did Russ and Paul George do in OKC this past season?
Hey, you're right. Definitely right there. And that's kind of my thing is like, where does this get you? And over the next course of 3 years, how much better does this Bulls team get? And what picks are you giving up? Because are you going to still be able to add things to this team beyond just this past offseason? Are you giving up your pick next offseason? And are you giving your pick up in 2022 because you can't trade back-to-back draft picks? Like, how does that shift sort of this rebuild? It wouldn't be really a rebuild anymore. It would be like, here's the team that you're going to have pretty much set in stone. And yeah, that's what you're looking at. So yeah. I guess the question is, can you build it around Russell?
Retool.
Retool, not rebuild. Does Russell Westbrook, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., is that good enough to get you in the top four of the East over the course of the next 4 years? And also think about it in terms of what we think Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. are in terms of projections. Like, we probably think Lauri Markkanen is going to be a future all-star. At least that's where I'm setting the bar for him. And for Wendell Carter Jr., I think he's going to be somewhere around that borderline type of all-star, maybe in 3 or 4 years. If you've got two guys that are elite level in your front court, and then you have Russell Westbrook, even if he's only 85% of what he used to be, is that good enough to get you a top four in the East?
I mean, it might be, but to me, like, that's an interesting way that you just, you know, phrased it. Even if Westbrook is 85% of what he used to be, because again, and it goes back to my point about how so much of Westbrook's game, as he's been one of the most dominant players in the league over the last, you know, 8 or 10 years, however long it's been, is his athleticism and his insane ability to attack the basket. And, you know, that's going to start going down. I mean, call it a pessimistic outlook, but I mean, I think it's also reality. And Westbrook has never been a good, reliable shooter. So as his athleticism starts to fade and you're paying him $40, $41, $44, $47 million, and he's – so to me, to say he's not Westbrook anymore, but he might be 85% of Westbrook, as soon as Westbrook loses – that extra boost, that extra step that has made his game what it has been, he's not 85% of Westbrook. He's like 50% of Westbrook.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because it's hard to quantify that, like what you would get out of him if you did take like a certain percentage of what his game was and removed that. But you're probably right, because you're talking about his athleticism. If that slows down, that could significantly hurt his game, especially because he's not a good pure shooter. Here's the last thing on his shooting stats, because I think this more proves your point than anything else. Effective field goal percentage last year, 46.9%. That was in the 27th percentile for all guards, which is not great. 2-point percentage, he was 48.1%, 50th percentile, so right in the middle, not bad. 3-point percentage, which he was terrible last year. Over the last 2 years,
he didn't even shoot 30.
Really bad. Yeah, 29% from three. That puts him in the 7th percentile among guards. That is awful. Awful. Free throw percentage, 65.6%. That puts him in the 13th percentile among guards. That is god-awful again. But here's what I was talking about in terms of assisted shots. How many times was he assisted on a shot in any one of his shots? 25% of the time last year, that's puts him in the 91st percentile. So somebody had to pass him the ball and give him an assist in order to score. That put him in the 91st percentile. Assisted at the rim was 20% at 82 percentile. Assisted mid-range shots, 10%, 87th percentile. And then assisted on threes, 61% of the time.
60%.
And that puts him in the 70th. Yeah. So you're looking at somebody needing to be able to get the ball to Westbrook in good spots in order for him to knock down shots. Do we have that guy on this roster? If you trade LaVine away, you trade Kobe White away, you trade Otto Porter away.
I mean, I guess you could say Thomas Adoransky.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting he's on the roster. Like, I got to train my brain to remember that he's there.
Yeah, but I mean, but to me, it's still not. To me, it still doesn't line up. Even if you're talking about the perfect ways to maximize Russ by making sure that you have the right pieces around him, because then what you're just doing right there, Jordan, is you're reorganizing the Bulls rebuild around a player who's about to be 31 and on a gigantic contract. And do you think that he could be the best player when you're giving up multiple pieces of the young core that you have and lead the Bulls past every other team in the top-heavy East right now and realistically contend? Because I do not think so.
I don't think it would be immediately. Like, I don't think it would be next year. But I think over the course of the following 2 years, you still get another year out of Markin and hopefully get a full year of Carter healthy. I think you could be probably in the top five in the East should you add Russell Westbrook there. And then beyond that, I don't know. I would be pretty much just guessing. And, you know, we're not fortune tellers. But I think it significantly makes your team better, definitely. And adding the star factor too, like no stars want to play with Russell Westbrook. Combine that with the fact that no stars want to come to Chicago. It seems like it's almost like a match made in heaven, right? Like no stars have wanted to come here for over the last decade. Nobody's really wanted to play with Russ, or everybody's left Russ. So kind of like a match made in heaven to me, man. I love Russell Westbrook. I think that's why I'm like more for it than anything else. And here's another thing. It's not like you're trading for a guy like DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry or one of these borderline all-stars. This is a true superstar in the NBA. I get the contract. I get the age. I get some of his past two seasons weren't all that great in terms of offense. But we're talking about a guy that's a top 15 player in the NBA right now. Right now, you could add him to this Bulls team. It would be hard-pressed for me to say, you know what, I'm good on that. Unless it included Lauri Markkanen and then multiple first-round picks. Then I would be like, you know what, probably okay with what we're doing right now. I'd take a pass on that. But if it didn't cost you Markkanen, you had to give up other pieces, I think I'm fully engaged in talks.
And look, I'm sure that there are a bunch of listeners out there right now who are like, Peck, you're fucking crazy. Why are you turning down Westbrook? Like you said, Jordan, he's still a top 20 player in the league. Probably will be for another couple of years at least. What is it about? Is it about, automatically becoming a better team, getting a guy who fast-tracks your team back to relevance? And in that sense, like, if the Bulls were actually to swing big here and go get Russell Westbrook, would I just like completely hate the move and be not on board at all? No, I'd be excited as hell to watch Westbrook and a new look Bulls team get back to being relevant in the East. It would be great television. It would be great entertainment. Bulls would have a bunch of nationally televised games again. The hype would maybe come back a little bit, but it would be, and it kind of goes back to our conversation about the Lakers and their front office and rewarding incompetence. Like Bulls fans, I think, more so than not, would see getting Westbrook as, holy crap, this front office that we just, drag through the mud all the time actually went out and accomplished something cool. They got a big star in Chicago. But what do we always yell at them about? The fact that there's no clear path. There's no consistent line of thought. We've started to actually see, and again, this is those of us who are looking at things objectively and saying the signings the Bulls made earlier this month may not have been all that sexy, but they made sense for what the roster needed. And just basically throwing a bunch of wild cards in the air by trading for Westbrook and changing the roster entirely after having showed signs that they are following a clear path for once. After the dumb Dwayne and Rondo signings, after the stupid Jabari signing, their recent past year or so, they've been making logical decisions, and they might not be exciting, and some might say it's even a cop-out to say, well, we can't sign any big free agents, so we're just going to go make the auto trade. You can say that if you want to, but at least what they're doing makes sense for those of us who are really paying attention. So to go sign Russell Westbrook or to go trade for Russell Westbrook would be once again a departure from the front office following a clear line of thought and a strategy and a plan. And again, it would be entertaining as hell. And that's why I could at least get partially behind it and say, all right, well, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just see what happens. But it would also dishearten me because as long as we're stuck with this front office, and it appears that we're stuck with this front office, I actually like it when they make decisions that make sense.
So do I. I think that's very, very logical. And to beyond that, here's just another thing to think about, too, over the next couple of weeks while we hear some more rumors about Russell Westbrook. The Bulls said that they wanted to set themselves up to have the opportunity to trade for a star should one come available. Now, we saw them kind of pass over on some of the other guys that were available over the last year. This might be a guy that they're interested in. I mean, we're talking about point guard love here, and the Bulls haven't had a point guard for over a decade, you know, beyond just past Derrick Rose's prime, and we're creeping up closely to a decade on that now. So if there's anybody that would intrigue them the most, it would probably be Russ if he is fully out there and ready to move on from OKC. Hell of a lot better than having interest in, God, thank God that they didn't make that move or weren't even entertaining it in Chris Paul. But we're talking about a superstar here. So I just want people to keep that in mind as these rumors continue. And Matt, there's probably people out there that think I'm absolutely nuts. Why would you want to bring in a dude that all he does is want the ball in his hands and all he cares about is stats and nobody wants to play with him and all of these other things. And like, I get what you're saying too. So I think there's people on both sides, and that's per usual for this fan base, right? I mean, everybody's on either one side or the other. There's no middle ground between both fans. So it will be interesting, and I think both of us would be excited as hell, but there's a lot of logical reasons for both sides. And I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're going to drop another episode. Matt, I want to talk to you about on our episode tomorrow about another player on OKC. Should Russell Westbrook maybe be not the player that the Bulls are looking to acquire? And OKC really just wants to hit the complete restart. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Summer League as well. The first two games wrapped up in Vegas for the Bulls. We'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll also talk about Carter's injury, because I think there's a lot to dive into Carter's injury and the concerns there. So we'll talk about all of that on tomorrow's episode. Wednesday, we're back with Mailbag. So drop us your texts and your voicemails at 331-979-1369. Text, voicemails, already have a ton lined up. Continue to drop those for us at any time, really. And if you drop them over the weekend, I will more than likely be awake to respond and engage. So if you're a night owl like I am, or you're working that third shift like I am, hit us up, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.